third chapter, I want to read the entire, not the entire chapter, I'm going to read about 20 verses just so that we have context. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." For those that use the free app, the Blue Letter Bible, you can confirm. You know what "truly, truly" is in the Greek? Amen. Amen. Right. Jesus says, "Amen. Amen. I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Amen, amen. Truly, truly. I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." I don't know necessarily that Michael stepped out. I don't know necessarily if Michael intended to do that this morning in his sharing, but that nails it. There are people in the world that just operate out of the flesh and out of fleshly motives. We need to be people that operate and function out of the Spirit. "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you," and this is interesting, it's the definite article, "are you the teacher of Israel?" So he's one of the lead teachers. You know? I've had a number of teachers in Bible college, but there was one or two that were the lead. Brother Pritchard, for example, was one of the leads. "How are you, the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who is descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses was lifted up, lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his works be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." Father, we just ask that you would take your word, this opening insight as we share this devotion this morning, that Lord God, that your Spirit would quicken it to our minds and to our spirit, and that we would receive the engrafted word of God into our life. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Apparently, we have just enough bulletins. If we do run short, let me know and we'll arrange one. Under the purpose, I want to motivate my congregation to confess faith in Christ Jesus and to invite the Holy Spirit to empower them to daily walk in the Spirit. I know most of you fairly well. And I know that you've made that initial invitation of Christ to come into your life. And at that moment, you were born again. Amen? Amen. But there's a process that we grow, you know, and we grow at different rates. We have different issues and different struggles, each of us. We grow differently. But on a daily basis, I want to encourage you, the whole series that we've embarked on last week is entitled Life in the Spirit. And, I mean, stuff happens. This has been a good and a bad week for our family. Good for Cheryl, but there were some other things that came to light that weren't quite as pleasant. And believe me, really needed the Holy Spirit just to walk through it. And that's true for each and every one of us here. If we think we can walk out the Spirit life of Christ without a regular feeding on the Word of God and without the Holy Spirit, we delude ourselves. We're going to miss the mark. So that's the theme of this series, and it follows on the tail of 26 weeks in the book of Revelation. We see that God will judge. He deals with things, and we need to acknowledge that. Last Sunday's devotional was from the first message that Jesus preached. It was short and to the point. His message, not mine. Hallelujah. Truly, truly. Yeah. He simply said, repent, for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we looked at that. At hand doesn't mean it's coming soon. At hand is right here. Okay? It's in front. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is that now. He wants to be that now in my life on an everyday, ongoing basis. But there, how many here have never missed the mark? You know?
Like today?
Oh, even the last 3 hours. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Truly, truly. We're on deck here. You know? So when we look at the whole idea of repentance, he wants to be the Lord in my life now. We saw in the book of Revelation there's coming a time, and we're rapidly moving towards that, where he's going to be revealed and manifested as the Lord of glory, and there's going to be a change on planet Earth. But until then, we're to be his ambassadors. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He's very emphatic about that we're here on a temporary basis, we're sojourners, and we're ambassadors for Christ. This is specifically what is said in the latter part of the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. We looked at the fact that there needs to be a repentance from the natural state. And what I mean by that, and I shared the went in more depth, when I came to Christ, it was a long road. My dad went through some tough experiences. His mom passed away when he was 16, and all the other kids in the family got put into foster care. One was adopted by an aunt down in Portland, Oregon. But dad was over the age. He was 16. They wouldn't take him into foster care, and he was left on his own. And his mom was a strong believer. He'd made a confession of Christ with his mom at a younger age. But that threw him for a loop. Hello? You know, and bitterness set in. In Hebrews, it says, don't let the root of bitterness become established, whereby many fall from grace. Bitterness becomes a wall that blocks off the power of God in our life. Grace is the power and the ability and authority of God given to you in Christ Jesus, Christ in you. It's more than an attitude. It is Christ in you. It's an enabling power. Well, My dad allowed bitterness to shut that down. And before he passed, my Uncle Don and myself had the opportunity to break that root, to dig it out. And he recommitted his life to Christ, and then just 2 months later was gone. But when I was young, Dad says, what do you think of church? And I was 14. I said, I don't think much of it, Dad. He says, okay, we won't go anymore. And it wasn't until I was 26 that I realized, you know, you ever stood in a bucket and tried to pick it up? It sounds stupid.
Why?
You know? Yeah. But, a dead man can't pick themselves up. Okay, and we looked at the scripture talking about the natural man doesn't understand things of the spirit because they're spiritually discerned. And I had to come to that place of realizing, you know, I don't get it. I don't understand my need, but I understand that I got to get help. Hello? And then I realized the nature of the natural man. And I repented of that, and I said, God, I can't do this. I need you. And that was the most critical thing in my life, is to come to that place of repenting from what I thought I was. I had been involved in Eastern philosophy. I had been involved in transcendental meditation, and I thought I could elevate myself. But I was in that bucket, and I simply couldn't pick it up. You know? And the truth of the matter is the more I was involved in those things, the worse things got. Instead of getting better, it's getting worse. And I needed to repent of that and come into a living relationship with Jesus Christ. I needed to acknowledge my personal trespasses. I'm not boasting, I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you the fact. When I was with the Bank of Commerce, I was turning into a professional drunk. I had times I would leave my apartment in the middle of the night, walk down 5 flights of stairs to see if my car was in the parkade because I couldn't remember how I got home. I'm not boasting, I'm not bragging. I'm saying, listen, it was going downhill fast. And I needed to repent of that. And I did. And I confessed Christ. And within a week of that happening, I got a letter from BC Motor Vehicle saying, you've had X number of speeding tickets, you're going to have to take a safe driving course. It's compulsory for you. And I said, okay, you know, I give that to you, Lord. And a week later, I got another letter saying, because of other circumstances, they had to cancel the course. I wasn't required to go. And I'm going, okay, there is a God in heaven. Yeah, you know? But I had to acknowledge what I was doing. One of the things that frustrates me is when I see Christians that feel the liberty to do things that aren't Christian, and they don't feel any need to repent. And, you know, it's nice to be part of a fellowship that is endeavoring to walk in the Spirit. There's something blessing and enriching about it, you know? And thank you for that. I praised you a few minutes ago, but you weren't in the room. Don't let that happen again. Yeah. Repent from misplaced focuses. That's one of the greatest problems that I see that as I deal with believers, is sometimes we get focused on certain things that are distracting. We repent of those. And we dealt with that last week. This is just a reminder. Okay. Just by way of reminder again, turn to Revelation 9:20. We see the wrath of God being poured out, and you look at, and folks, the natural man is incredibly stubborn. The natural man, we think we can do it. And you look at chapter 9, you see the wrath of God, the fifth angel is blowing the trumpet, and the wrath of God is being poured out. And it says, sure hope I'm giving the right references here, 20 and 21. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, nor giving up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Do you understand that we can become incredibly stubborn in what we think is our rightnesses, and we won't repent of it. And here, multitudes are dying, and they would not repent. And that's not just then, it's now. 16 and verse 11. I'm going to read verse 10. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and the kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in anguish. They were in agony, but they wouldn't. They just stayed in agony. And cursed the God of heaven for their pain and their sorrows. They did not repent. And you need to be honest with yourself and say, listen, if God's putting his finger on something in your life, are you responding? Are you repenting? And I've been at this long enough to see people who are so caught in their own sense of rightness that they don't repent. And we need to be careful of that. Amen? Okay? And that was Jesus' first message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? Now, I want to look at the second. Okay, and we got Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. And whoever would draw near to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. And I've given you some comparison verses that you can look at in Hebrews 3:19 and chapter 4:2-3. I want to look now at a portion of what we just read this morning. Jesus Christ's command. I want to reread verses 3 through 8. Jesus answered him, amen, amen. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's a pretty blunt statement. You know? There are all kinds of philosophies and religions out there. And if you're trusting them, you're going to be disappointed. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, amen, amen. I say to you, unless one is born in the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now look at verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Everyone who has confessed the Lord Jesus Christ and made him their personal Lord and Savior, you have been born of the Spirit of the living God. That's a fact. So we've broken the bondage of the flesh, but there are still times that we're tempted to yield to the flesh. There's all kinds of things that can grip us. John 1:12-13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right. The Greek word there is exousia. That's an internal power. It's an internal capacity. It's an internal ability. What is the capacity? What's the ability that you've received? You can't pick yourself up standing in a bucket and pick the bucket up. It doesn't work. What is the capacity you have? The capacity you have is you've received Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1. Okay? He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Every believer has been born of the Spirit of the living God. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. In the 14th chapter of John and the 16th chapter of John, you find the Holy Spirit is in you, and he's with you, and he comes upon you. Okay? You have that. You have that capacity, that ability. Jesus said, but without it, you cannot enter the kingdom. Amen? Okay? We need to be clear on that. 1 John 2:29. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. You know, that doesn't mean we lead sinless, perfect lives. The first chapter says, if you say you sin not, you lie and the truth's not in you. Okay? Now, some of us are having difficulty breaking habitual habits. You know, I could look at you and I could point out, because I know some of you at various levels, that you know, Proverbs says, if you're a man given to gluttony, put a knife to your throat. we were visiting with a friend who was helping us on Friday. She leans back in her chair. She says, "See?" And I thought, she's turning into me. She says, "I'm due in March." I'm not. I periodically deliver groceries. Just before Christmas last year, a lady said to me, she said, "Are you delivering today?" I said, "I'm not due until May." She nearly choked. She said, "No, I meant groceries." Okay, next one. 1 John 3, 9-10. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. You know? Listen, if you've really been born again, you've discovered one thing already in your life, and you're embarrassed by it. We make lousy sinners. We really do. When we miss the mark, the Holy Spirit begins to prick our hearts. Amen? If you're not getting pricked in your heart, you need to examine your relationship with Christ. Okay? Whoop! Apparently.
There we go.
Makes a practice of saying, for God's seed abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. God is working at us. He's. I can't tell you the number of times I've been poked, you know. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. You know, if you got issues, fix them. 1 John 4, 7-8 and 5, 1-5 also address that subject. Okay? The word again. You must be born again. Again, if you're using the free app, the Blue Letter Bible, you can confirm this. You look the word up again, and it means from above, from a higher place, of things which come from heaven or God. And that takes you right back to John 1 and 12. Not born of the will of man or of the flesh, you know, but born of God. That's you and I. Okay? That is an essential step to life in the Spirit. If you have not been born again and have become a spiritual being and you're still just in the flesh, you can't do it. Hello? You know? It's like fish are not very good at climbing trees. You know? The natural man, the fleshly man, just... the things of spirit don't make sense. Can't do it. Okay? Characteristics of the natural man. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, if you got a disagreement or an argument, I'm just reading the Word of God. Take it up with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked. There's stuff that I used to do that I don't do anymore. One of the things I'm so grateful for is when I accepted Christ, I gave my bar away and it wasn't an issue. Now, I was cheap. You know, I can understand I was a banker. I didn't want to just dump it down the drain, so I gave it to friends. But, it wasn't an issue. It was just gone. But, I won't go into detail, that's too embarrassing, there were things in my life that I had to put away. And I've come to the conclusion that God will take from my life what he knows I can't do. And there's other things he says, listen, as you get into my word and you submit to my spirit, you will have victory in this area. You know, if you don't have a struggle, you never have a victory. Hello? Yeah. And I haven't won all the battles, but many of them I have. In which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. That's the devil, folks. Okay? Get this, And whether it's Lynn's mother or whether it's Lynn, who was raised in a Christian home and never went through the things that I did, you know, which to me is a greater testimony. You know, I was delivered from this, that, and that. There's a whole bunch of stuff that she was protected from. Hello? That's a great testimony. Or our daughter. Protected from many things. There's a heritage there. But get this. All of us, regardless of our family heritage and history and lineage, it says, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Don't you love this three-letter word? But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Amen? And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For what purpose? So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. All right? For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It's the gift of God. Okay, by context, the faith you have is a gift from God. And the faith allows you to receive the gift of life through Jesus Christ. John 3:16. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. I can't even boast of my faith. Well, praise God, I got faith in God. Yeah, you got it as a gift. Yeah. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Praise God. Okay, notice, we were dead. We walked in the same way as the world, in the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. And we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. And again, I challenge you to really look at that word grace. We weren't saved by God's attitude. When you got saved, how were you saved? By the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That spirit now in you. Grace is the Bible word for the power work of God through the Holy Spirit in your life and my life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2, 14 to 16. Talks about the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit because they're spiritually discerned. No? We need to enter into that Spirit-filled life. Now go to Romans 6. We're going to be Romans 8. We're going to be in Romans 8 for the balance of this devotional this morning. Romans 8, verses 6 to 8. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. Now, he's writing to believers here. He's saying, John, if you get fixated on the things of the world, and then we touched on that last week, having wrong goals, having a wrong focus. When I start focusing on the world, I start acting more and more like the world all the time. Yeah. And what happens is in my soul, there's a measure of death that begins to manifest itself. I become cold to the things of God. And I need to repent of that. For to set the mind in the flesh is death, and to set the mind in the spirit is life and peace. Okay? For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Get this, indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We need to enter into this experience of being born again. I need to repent of the natural man. I need to acknowledge the characteristics of the natural man. Okay, now we go to the characteristics of born again mankind. Romans 12 to 17. So then, brothers, that includes the ladies, okay, we're debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Now, by debtors, what he's saying is we have an obligation. We have an obligation to one another, and we have an obligation to the world. We are light and we are salt, and I need to behave that way. You know? It's not optional. You know, when I'm at work, I'm to maintain right working relationship with them, but I'm not to enter into the things that characterize them. And I'm to be, and I'm not pointing my finger at them saying shame, shame, shame. I just, you know, and I've said this before, they keep waiting for me to mess up. You know. And it's my duty not to. You know, but I'm not pointing at them, preaching at them. You know, for one thing, it's disallowed. I agree in the contract with co-op not to behave that way. I'm not there to preach at people. I'm there to do the job I was hired to do. But I need to do it like light and salt. Hello? You know in the scripture it says that, ladies, you can win your husband if he's a non-believer without saying a word. Hello? As a co-worker, I'm supposed to model things for them that they say, hey, I don't know what you got, but give me some. You know? Okay? We have that obligation. We're debtors. Not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. John, are you being led by the Spirit, or are you being led by the flesh like a bull with a ring through its nose getting dragged along? No. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. But get this, you've received the spirit of adoption as sons. Okay? So you're born again, but then there's a legal agreement in heaven. When you receive the Holy Spirit, it's a legal agreement saying, I've now adopted you as a son. Hello? That's huge. By birth and by legal decree, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears with our spirit that we are the children of God. And there's times, I panic fairly easily. They've left the room. They can't bear witness. But I went to email the outline. We got volunteer workers that do a ton of stuff. And I want to get the outline to them as quickly as I can. I don't want them having to do it at midnight. And I opened my Gmail account to do the email, and had all kinds of weird screens and weird questions and asking for passwords, and I was at a loss. Just, and Lynn was helping Cheryl. They're packing some stuff up already. And I phoned and I said, I got a problem here with the computer. Could one or both of you come? Because Cheryl and Lynn are far more capable on the computer than I am. When the first computer I got, I didn't know you weren't supposed to just push the power button to turn it off. You actually had to, you know, call up the menu and, you know, and Lynn got me a book, you know, Microsoft for Dummies, and it wasn't dumbed down enough for me, and so it didn't help me a whole lot. So they both came over, and Cheryl sat down, and zippity-doo-dah-day, and it was done. I said, what are you doing? She says, you already did the hard part. All I did was kept pushing continue. Okay. Yeah. The Spirit of God is in us, and He wants me to continue in Him. And He puts His finger on me at times. And I need to respond. The Spirit Himself bears witness. But I tell you, when I blow out, I got to, you know, and I got to get that clean so I get that witness going again. Doesn't change the reality of who I am, but it changes my emotion. Are you with me? You ever felt like, God, I blew it so bad that, you know, even God's disowned me now? You know, but he won't. But, John, you need to deal with it. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided you suffer with Him in order that you may also be glorified with Him. Okay? We're heirs with Him. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to Him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. And then you got this long portion in John 6:44-51 where He explains that He's the bread of life. And that no one comes onto the Son except the Father draw Him. And you need to receive Him. And they said, you know, later in that portion, it says, this is a hard saying. They didn't get it. And many left. And that's John 6, verse 66, 666, number of the beast. Just coincidental, but it's interesting to me. Remember, about a year ago, we went through Jude. And with this, we close. And it's not even 12:15, which is Tim's nickname for me, John 12:15. Do you remember this? Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother to James, half brother of the Lord, but he doesn't identify himself that way. James was. The ruling elder in the church in Jerusalem. He identifies himself that way. To those who are called. Beloved, you're here because God's called you. You may not have heard an audible voice, but things worked in your life that you're here. Jordan, your story's interesting. You know, the Holy Spirit led you through a character named Larry Tittle. You have an old history here, but now you have a new history. God's called you. Okay? And you are beloved in God the Father. He's inviting you. He's saying, John, I want you to walk in a spirit life all of your days. That's His hope for me. It's His plan for me. But it involves my cooperation. You know? And I'll be honest, I don't always cooperate. You know? There are certain things to me that are a gas. I get up and I'm pumped. I'm ready to go. There's other things, you know, just, I have to push through it. Hello? Okay? But get this. And kept for Jesus Christ. You are loved, you're called, you're beloved, and you're kept. Even in your failings, in seeking to walk in the Spirit. And we're going to continue to pursue this for the next few weeks. We'll be right up in, at least until Christmas, to the new year. Galatians 5:6, okay, I want to close with this. I'm going to read this. And we're getting close to 5:15, so John, hurry up. 5:15, 12:15. So much for lunch. Okay. Starting in verse 16 of the fifth chapter. But I say to you, walk by the Spirit. That's why we're doing this. We're commanded to walk by the Spirit. and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. The flesh wants, you know, like in the seventh chapter of Romans, Paul said, the things I should do, I don't do. And the things I shouldn't do, those are the things I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of flesh? He says, I perceive that there are passions within us that, John, you need to bring into control. Hello? Okay? Verse 18. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The Spirit's a higher law. Not that the works of the flesh are evident. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Got to be born again. You've got to recognize the natural man and invite the Holy Spirit in and become a spiritual man. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Amen? Well, that's an ongoing challenge. You know, I think it was Phillips, the Phillips translation. Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind. And in the Phillips translation, he says, don't let the world press you into its mold. And the image I got then, because when I first got saved, I was 26, but I had trouble with the King James. And so I got the Phillips translation. The bookstore said, you might understand this one better. And I did, and it said, don't let the world press you into its mold. And the image I got was the cookie cutter. Push, 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 push. You know, the world wants us to be all the same. You know? And you prayed along that line. Don't let the spirit of fear. That's the world. Don't let it push you into things. Hello? Amen. Well, I got the mic here. Don't know every work you, Larry, but I'm going to ask you to, because Tim went to get the pizza. Because we did a quick head count, and we looked at the food, and we thought, you know, we'll grab a pizza just to supplement things. And so you can close the service.